In the studio here at Raglan Community Radio, we are joined by Esther. How are you going, Esther?
Hey, hey, how's it going, guys? Lovely to be on the radio. Talking a little bit about epilepsy.
Indeed. You are from the Epilepsy Waikato Charitable Trust.
I am. I am the Epilepsy Advisor at Epilepsy Waikato Charitable Trust. We're a non-government organisation that services the Waikato DHB region and beyond.
All right. Yeah. And how long has Epilepsy Waikato Charitable Trust been a thing?
So we've been around since 2011. We saw the need to have a regional organisation helping people with epilepsy and helping their families, their communities. So we started up and we've been going ever since.
Right on. Okay. And before we get into anything else, why don't you tell us, how did you first get involved or interested in working in this field?
Sure. I came across the role and I thought, how awesome, I'd love to support people. I have a partner who's had seizures in the past, has a brain injury, so I was like, you know what, supporting people having seizures, you know, I know that there's other aspects that can be difficult in those people's lives, whether it's transport, is it schooling, is it work, so having that personal experience. I also, have a background in anthropology, so I love talking to people and learning about how, you know, how their lives function and, you know, what matters to them and things like that.
Right on. Yeah. And so you've been in the role?
Oh, I've been in the role since late November last year, on my own since, January, February this year. So, not too long, but plenty of information to learn and lots of people out there to help. So, I'll be in it for a while longer.
Fantastic. And the previous person in your position, Maria Lowe, is also in the studio.
Hello. Nice to be here.
And she's, you might hear her voice every now and then.
Yes, I'm happy to support Esther. So Esther's replaced me as the epilepsy advisor.
Right on.
So I was in this role for many, many years, and then I got old, and now it's Esther's turn to take over. So it's really good. Well, I'm not that old, but old enough to sort of retire and enjoy life.
She's right. She's not that old.
All right. And so, there's a petition that's gone to Parliament. First, I think it's Mental Health Awareness Week. And so epilepsy, I just want to have a talk about that sort of firstly, you know, what is it?
Yeah, sure. So epilepsy is a tendency to experience recurrent and unprovoked seizures. Many seizures out there. Some seizures are non-epileptic, but there are many that are. There is at least 40 different epileptic seizure types.
40?
Yes.
Okay. And what's the prevalence in the population like? How many people are diagnosed, say, with epilepsy?
Sure. So it's at least 1 in 100, maybe 2 in 100.
Yeah.
People that have epilepsy, the diagnostic tests that are out there don't necessarily pick up epilepsy. There's not one test for epilepsy. So people could get a CT scan, they could get an EEG, an MRI, and none of these show up as them having epilepsy, but they've had several seizures. So hence why the number of people that have epilepsy, there's variation, whether it's 1 in 100, 2 in 100. About 50,000 New Zealanders. If you take that percentage and put it with our population,
it's a lot.
Absolutely.
And what actually happens during a seizure?
Yeah, well, that can vary quite dramatically. It depends on the type of seizure a person's having. So there are focal seizures that happen in one lobe of the brain. So it could be your temporal lobe, your frontal lobe, your occipital lobe, or your parietal lobe.
And these are like surges of electricity or something going through the brain.
And seizures, people can experience changes in sensation and behaviour and consciousness. So with focal seizures that are happening in one area of the brain, they might smell things that aren't there, taste things that aren't there. They might have deja vu. Varies depending on what lobe it might be happening in. And then there's also generalized seizures, which happen in the whole brain.
Yeah.
And they encompass your absent seizures, your tonic-clonic seizures, and a variety more than that. But those are the names that people are aware of in terms of generalized seizures usually.
Right on. Okay. Yeah, well, there's quite a number of the population are diagnosed at least anyway. So that's quite interesting. Would that make it one of the most prevalent conditions in the population?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, okay.
And definitely one of the most under-researched as well.
Right, okay. And, well, I guess how long has it been recognised as, you know, this is epilepsy? How long is a bit of a deep dive in medical history?
Mm, It's an interesting question to ask, I guess. I mean, the names of different seizure types have changed over time as well. So there used to be names out there like grand mal and petit mal that people might recognise, or simple partial, complex partial seizures. Things that people experience if it's not, you know, they're not becoming unconscious, they're not jerking, having convulsions, then people might not see them as having a seizure. And that's why I really love getting out there as part of my role and talking to people about what epilepsy is and the different seizures that there are out there. And then they realise, oh, wow, I saw this person doing this. Maybe they were actually having a seizure and I didn't realise. So, yeah, definitely more to be known still. And the knowledge is always growing within the community, whether that's in the medical community itself or the general community.
Okay. So part of your role is you go and visit people who get in touch with you or whatever?
Absolutely, yeah. Home visits are a huge part of my role. Do home visits anywhere in the Waikato DHB region. It can be, you know, anywhere out as far as Thames, out here in Raglan, down as far as Mount Ruapehu, and, yeah, servicing, you know, sort of to Kaupata, North Waikato as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, home visits, huge part. I can sit with someone for several hours just learning about the history of their epilepsy and their seizures and trying to connect them with other help out there if I can't help them with certain things they're experiencing.
Interesting. Yeah, it must be really nice chatting to a lot of people, and you'd learn so much too, I guess, as you're doing it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Every day is different and every client is completely different. I'm constantly learning. Oh, you haven't heard of this particular, you know, symptom that I experience, or I have trouble with this. Okay, I might have to go away and do a bit of research. Everybody is different, and Maria could say the same, even after being in the role for several years longer than me. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. And there is Epilepsy New Zealand, isn't there? Is that the foundation, is that right?
So Epilepsy New Zealand is the national organisation. So we're just a small non-government regional organisation separate from Epilepsy New Zealand.
And how do you tie in with them? How does that kind of work? Does it at all or not really?
Yeah, interesting question. I mean, the Waikato DHB region is so big, I think having both organisations present in the region is great. You know, there's help out there no matter what for the people out there that are having seizures. And yeah, I mean, we work alongside them in ways, but yeah, separate organisations.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but both there to service people with epilepsy and their families. So supports there.
Okay. So you're in here because, before we get into that, there are sort of funded treatments at the moment for epilepsy, right? And so do you want to run us through sort of what they are and who they cover and that sort of thing?
Yeah, sure. So there's a number of different treatment options out there for epilepsy. The most well-known treatment is anti-seizure medication. There's about at least 20 to 30 different anti-seizure medications out there. They've been around for years, and new ones still coming out. They work for 70% of people with epilepsy. The anti-seizure medication controls their seizures.
Yep.
The other 30%, it doesn't work for them. There are other treatment options out there, not regularly talked about within their appointments. We've had a petition for the ketogenic diet, which is a treatment for epilepsy. That was 6 years ago. That petition went to Parliament, and Waikato Hospital is now in discussions about training someone to talk about the ketogenic diet with patients, and that's for children who have intractable epilepsy, but not adults.
Yeah.
There is also brain surgery that can be an option for some people. That's dependent on what shows up in their EEG and whether, you know, they can remove that part of their brain without creating problems with sight or speech and things like that. So that's not an option for everybody. And then the other treatment
sounds
option,
pretty drastic, doesn't it?
It's huge. I mean, I've met people who have got, you know, a whole lobe of their brain missing, or, you know, parts of their brain missing. You think, wow, it really is amazing how much the brain's plasticity and things like that. And then the other treatment option is what I'm here to talk a little bit more about today, which is vagal nerve stimulation. So a petition was put forward by Maria, who's sitting next to me, to Parliament a year ago for the VNS to become a fully funded treatment for people in New Zealand who have intractable epilepsy, children and adults. In terms of the ones that are funded, anti-seizure medication is the first go-to that doctors talk to people about.
And you've mentioned intractable epilepsy. Do you want to explain what that is?
Yeah, so those 30% of people who have intractable epilepsy, it's basically when they've tried two anti-seizure medications and they're not working to control their seizures.
Yeah.
Then they're deemed to have intractable epilepsy.
Okay. So that's well, that is okay. And you just mentioned the vagal nerve stimulation, and I guess explain what that is first.
Yeah, sure. So there's a little generator that's so they make an incision near the chest and they put in a generator, and then the leads wrap around the left vagus nerve,
which comes out of the heart, doesn't it?
So the left vagus nerve goes up to your brain. So basically the vagus nerve stimulator is like a pacemaker for the brain, right, is the simplest way to think of it.
Right.
And the generator will be giving electrical pulses regularly to the person in order to try and stop the seizures. A person, if they get the vagus nerve stimulator, they are given a magnet, so they can put a magnet over the generator to try and stop seizures if they feel like they're not getting enough pulses to either stop one in its tracks, or if they feel one coming on, if they get what we call an aura, which some people get who have epilepsy, they know that a seizure is coming before it comes.
Yeah.
That's a little bit more about in terms of the mechanics of the vagus nerve stimulator.
Speaking of the aura thing, I've heard interesting stories too that like people with dogs or whatever, especially dogs, they start barking or reacting like a few seconds before they actually come on. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. I talked to some clients about seizure alert alarms, but yeah, dogs sometimes are used as well, and dogs actually themselves can experience epilepsy.
Oh, true.
So fun fact for the day.
All right. Okay, and so the vagal nerve stimulator, is that a new thing?
No, the vagus nerve stimulator has been around for 30 years, the ketogenic diet for 100 years, so these treatment options not really being discussed with people who have intractable epilepsy. We feel that Epilepsy Waikato Charitable Trust is just not good enough, hence the petitions to Parliament. So, if it's existed for 30 years overseas, then New Zealand needs to hop on board and have that available to people here as well. So, yeah.
And it's used in what other countries?
Yeah, Europe, Australia, the UK, America, various countries overseas.
So it's worldwide being used, for a number of years now.
Yeah, even Scandinavia's had some studies, around vagus nerve stimulation.
Okay, But not good old New Zealand, eh?
Not good old New Zealand. Maybe not good old New Zealand. bad New Zealand. Come on.
Yeah. Okay. And so a petition, was you guys started one last year, was it?
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, tell us how it all happened and what's happened since.
Yeah. So Maria, who's sitting next to me, actually put the petition forward to Parliament. So I might just jump over to Maria to talk a little bit more on the petition and how she went about putting that forward.
Right, yeah.
Well, I was a bit brassed off, actually, that there wasn't enough done for people with intractable epilepsy. And so paediatricians and neurologists sit across the desk and say, well, there's nothing more that we can do for you. But I actually know that if you help across to Australia, you could be given a vagal nerve stimulator. So there is more that we can actually do for people living with intractable epilepsy. Mm. So I thought, well, let's have another petition. I'd already had one 6 years prior on the ketogenic diet, and the vagal nerve stimulator is available or should be made available for people. And so I petitioned Parliament a year ago. It's taken a year to actually be heard, and Pharmac was there. And they have a capped budget.
Yes.
We had Te Whatu Ora there. We had a representative, a neurologist, and a representative from Epilepsy New Zealand. All supported the vagal nerve stimulator, even Pharmac. So I'm quite encouraged that perhaps one day we will have a vagal nerve stimulator available for people with intractable epilepsy in New Zealand. But there is a process, and it's just very tiresome to have that process. In the meantime, people are potentially harmed by not having that seizure control. Mm. So people can die, unfortunately, when seizures take hold. Mm. And I'm hoping that with the vagal nerve stimulator, it reduces the rate in which people can potentially die. And it improves their life, their quality of life. Mm. And so that's what we talk about in terms of any seizure treatment, is medication does give people quality of life for 70% of people, but for 30%, to people, we don't have anything available other than for some people with brain surgery. But for the rest, that brain surgery is not going to be an option. We have nothing here available in New Zealand. And that becomes a moral question, in my view. Is it morally right not to help somebody with intractable epilepsy? And so that was the push really, for the petition.
Yeah, okay. So you put the petition in a year ago.
Yes.
And nothing happened.
Yeah.
Was it 6 weeks ago you were saying that you reminded them that it was actually there?
Yeah. So I phoned them up and said I wouldn't mind being heard. And they wrote back or phoned me back and said, well, there is privacy issues here. And I said, yes, I know. But I would like to be heard. So the week following, they did phone and say, would you like to present in Parliament, which I went down and Esther came to. We were able to have that discussion around the efficacy of the vagal nerve stimulator.
All right. Well, good lesson there, folks. You've got to keep at it, right?
You certainly have to keep at it.
Absolutely.
And I'm very pleased to have Esther on board now that will keep at it, really.
Okay. So what's the next step in the petition? What's the next step your meeting 3 weeks ago?
I wait for a report.
I see.
And the people on the health committee will either say yes or no to the vagal nerve.
Yeah.
And if it's a no, then I will go further.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I'll go further, but I think they'll need to probably have more publicity.
Okay.
And make people aware that actually they are entitled to have a better options for themselves in terms of getting better treatments anyway.
Yep.
And they have to ask for it. And the neurologists and pediatricians also have to demand it from Te Whatu Ora that this is the only thing that we can do to help people with epilepsy.
Yeah. And I saw in your petition how it actually saves money in the end as well.
Oh, there was a huge study done in Australia, Deloitte study. They looked at the cost to the Australian government every year with people living with epilepsy, and it came out to something like $12.9 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the cost of hospitalizations, neurologists, you know, all of that care.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went on to further transport support, social support. It was just phenomenal. So if it's $12.9 billion for Australia, it would equate to something like $4 billion in New Zealand that it's costing for people with epilepsy.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can improve people not to have seizures, then it's going to be better for the government, who's very fiscally conscious in terms of keeping people out of hospitals, if we can reduce seizures.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what can people do, people on the street do to help you with this?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of those people out there who have intractable epilepsy and their families, like Maria said, definitely mentioning it to your doctors, saying, look, I know about this treatment option, and I think this is an option for me, and can I talk to you more about it? Because it is out there, and it is being used overseas, and people in New Zealand deserve to have that option as well. So just keep pushing, like we are always pushing. Sometimes people have to advocate for themselves, and I mean, we're obviously here to help advocate for people as well, but enough's enough.
Fair enough too. And how can people get a hold of you anyway?
Absolutely, yeah. So at Epilepsy Waikato Charitable Trust, so as Epilepsy Advisor, people can contact me via mobile or via email. My contact details are on our website, which is www.ewct.org.nz. Our website also features a bunch of fact sheets. It's got stories from our clients. We've got books out there that we are happy to provide to families, seizure diaries and kids' books and all sorts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to be reached either of those methods and happy to come and chat in person as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So www.ewct. Let me get that straight, folks. www.ewct.org.nz.
That's the one.
And there you'll find Esther's details if you want to get a hold of her, and you're happy to go anywhere in the region to go meet folks.
Absolutely. And if people listening know people outside of the Waikato that they think need some support, whether it's epilepsy, whether they're having seizures and they don't know, or, you know, if they don't even know if they're seizures, you know, we're happy to support people out there that are having any kind of seizures. We know that there's a lack of support for those people out of the epileptic seizure world as well. So happy to support anybody with seizures, and anybody outside of the Waikato, happy to phone call, video call, and provide them with support and resources as well.
Fantastic. Is there anything else you want to add?
I mean, yeah, feel free to reach out to me if you're listening and are saying, oh, cool, wow, you know, epilepsy is much broader than I thought. It's more than just seizures, and you want in-service training. We also create individualized epilepsy action plans for our clients, which can be really helpful in schools and workplaces, in the home, around their seizure types and how to help them. So, yeah, more than just a home visit, so feel free to just reach out, and hopefully I can answer your questions, and if not, we can try and put you on the right track.
Yeah, and you also do public speaking as well, you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, we're definitely trying to get through more avenues in terms of how many people we can reach. I constantly run into people and they say, we've never heard of you. We've been around since 2011. So, yeah, check out our website, get in touch, see if there's something that we can do. You know, if you want to hop on a podcast with us, or, you know, if you have epilepsy and you want to chat to us a little bit more about it and want to get the word out alongside us, then, yeah, we're happy to keep spreading the word in as many ways as possible and reaching as many communities as possible.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I think we'll wrap it up there. So thank you very much for coming in, Esther.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Craig.
And thank you very much for coming in, Maria.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to talk to people.
Yes. And, yeah, www.ewct is a good way to get a hold of Epilepsy Waikato Charitable Trust. And thanks again for coming in, you guys. And good luck with the petition. And, yeah, don't forget, folks, if you want to help with that, talk to your doctors or your MP and just talk about it, I guess, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, that's a really good point that Craig just mentioned, because I'm one of the very few people in New Zealand who have had a VNS put in. They did get it through mentioning it to the MP, and the MP advocated on behalf of them. So, yeah, that is a really good avenue. Yep.
Okay. And there we are, folks. All right. Well, thanks again. Have a lovely rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you.